Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's nice to be back with you again. And we're excited because Max Fuentes is back with us again today. He has been a guest with us previously here on Close Up Talk Radio. He's the founder of Fuentes Consulting, based in Sacramento, California, in that area. And it's a company that specializes in professional transmission and distribution utility consulting and training services. It includes litigation support services, also expert witness testimony. As you know, the utilities industry has to keep up with the ever-evolving demands of these challenging times, and in a rapidly shifting industry, success obviously starts with a highly skilled workforce, and the need for leadership development has become even more critical. And that's why seeking an experienced, top-notch professional like Max with a dynamic approach to meet consumer demands, build lasting solutions, and take companies in a new direction efficiently and effectively is a key to the company's and the industry's overall success. Anyway, Max is a fascinating gentleman who's had a wide range of ranging career in the utilities industry, and he is putting that experience to use in many different ways, including as an expert witness in litigation support, which is a whole new ballgame for someone like Max and for many people who have become expert witnesses. And we've been talking to folks who have been doing this kind of thing now throughout their careers and then getting involved in helping lawyers and testifying in court cases. In any event, we're going to get to that in a little bit, but for those of you who aren't familiar with Max or heard his story, we're going to bring him on and talk a little bit about the utilities industry and what it's like to work in that field, which is a very complex field, and it's a really great pleasure to welcome Max Fuentes back with us today from Sacramento. Max, welcome. How are you today? Nice to have you back. How's it going?
Oh, thank you for bringing me back, Doug. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with your audience.
Well, you know, you're one of those guys who is a lead lineman. You've climbed up telephone poles and working on wires high above the traffic where people are driving by and looking and wondering what's going on up there and wondering how dangerous it is. We know it's very, very dangerous. But let's get into the subject of what this whole field is like. What got you into the field to begin with? How did you start your career in that arena? How would you answer that?
So one thing I want to correct you on, Doug, is as a power lineman, we never refer to our poles as telephone poles. We always call them power poles, just because, you know, when someone says it's a telephone pole, we just tell them, okay, well, you see the telephone wire, you see all the stuff above it, that's what we work on. And we're the ones that set the pole so the telephone company can attach their infrastructure. So anyway, I just for clarification, otherwise, so,
well, that's good. What should I call it?
Will be very mad at me.
If it's not a telephone pole, what do I call it? A high power pole, right?
How about it? Yeah, or a utility pole.
Utility pole, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's good. I'm glad you shot me down. Good for you.
Now I'm just clarification. That's all.
I know. I understand. I know.
So I started in 1984. I was like a lot of young people. You know, college was. I had been going to college, but I really didn't have a clear direction that I wanted to go. And so I was out of college at the time. I was working. I hadn't graduated, and a friend of mine asked me if I was going to take a lineman test. And I didn't know what a lineman was, and he told me all about, you know, linemen work on electricity. Every time you go home and turn the light switch on, and the lights come on, and your TV comes on, there's a whole infrastructure and network of people that work on the lines to keep you with reliable electric service. I said, okay, well, that sounds interesting. And so in 1984, I applied to the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, and they're known as SMUD in the industry. That's their acronym.
Right.
And he started teaching me how to climb poles. I mean, in order for you to get into the apprenticeship program, you have to have physical skill sets that enables you to climb poles up to, you know, the shortest pole we'll climb is like 30 feet, and you go up, or, you know, over 100 feet on wood poles and higher than that on steel structures. So I had to take an entrance exam, which was just reading, writing, and some math applications, and then took three different tests to qualify for physical portion of it. My friend taught me how to climb, so I was ahead of the game, and I was selected. There were several thousand of us trying to get in, get our foot in the door, and from there, my career blossomed. I was hired on. I spent a year on the ground, known as a groundman or a pre-apprentice, and then I was brought into the apprenticeship, and the apprenticeship was 3 years as an apprentice. It's really a total of 4 years.
Yeah.
And so it's basically a four-year apprenticeship, so it's over 8,000 hours of on-the-job training plus safety training and line work procedures and 3 years of night school. So it's equivalent to any degree that you would get from any college, as far as I'm concerned.
Nope.
The amount of
no
knowledge
question.
That you have to gain. And the great thing about it is you're getting paid. You're getting paid the whole time. And so it's a great career. I had great benefits. But my vertical path was I was I made lineman, and then I was 2 years following that, I was a lead lineman on several different crews on overhead and underground distribution and transmission crews. And I made line foreman in 1990 and spent 6 years as a line foreman for SMUD. And then my wife and I decided that we were going to go for a quality of life change. We moved to Idaho. And for 3 years in Idaho, I worked for a contractor, and I worked as an instructor at Northwest Lineman College. And then in 2000, I came back to Sacramento, and I was offered a position as a president to start my own post-secondary vocational school. So I did that for a while, but it struggled, and it wasn't successful. And I said, well, what can I do? I can still do line work. So I went back to SMUD as a lineman, and then I had my career from 2002 to 2015. I worked as a supervisor in several different areas of the company, and I did inspections and maintenance planning. And so I have a very wide breadth and depth of the utility industry. So I retired in 2015 as a supervisor after 31 years. And then I started my own company. And for the last 7 years, I've been doing, like you said in the beginning, you know, I do utility consulting. I certify line workers for their hurt man rescue and other safety procedures, and I do litigation for lawyers as an expert witness.
Let's go back and talk a little bit. I wanted to ask you about the physical. You talked about in the very beginning you had to take two or three tests, you know, to pass the physical requirements to actually become a lineman or get into the program itself. What are the things that are required physically to do this kind of work? What'd you have to go through? Do you remember?
Sure. Well, of course. I used to teach it. And what it is you go through a series of heights on the pole to get you acclimated. Now, at the training facility, they put us in a harness with a lanyard attached to us to get us to start on the pole to begin with. Well, back in those days, we didn't have that. I'm sorry. It was just we did what was called free climbing. So you had a safety belt, you had tools, you had climbers, which were the gaffs that were attached to your legs. And so, like, the first session was you'd go up 10 feet, you'd belt off, which meant you installed your safety strap, and then you had to circle the pole. So you had to maneuver to the left and to the right, 360 degrees. And then you would come down, and what they're trying to do at that point is the vetting process is, can this person climb at least to 10 feet without being scared? So you get a 50% attrition level because people start climbing and they see these two little gaffs holding you on a pole and they're 10 feet up, and you don't realize that that's not that high. But if you've never done it before, it can be. And then so then the second phase, you go to 15 feet and you hang what's called a hand line. It's just a pulley with a rope through it with a hook on it. And and you learn how to take what's a cross arm, which is an 8-foot wooden arm. Its dimensions are like 3x4 or 3.5x4 inches, and it has a bolt in it, and you stick it in a pre-drilled hole, and you have to walk up in your belt and tighten the bolt down, and you have to attach the quarter braces. And what they're doing is they're saying, can you work at an elevated level? So if you successfully pass that, then you come down, they bring you back to the third phase, and then you go up to the top of the pole, which is 35 feet at the training facility, and you do the same exact thing. You hang your hand line, you hang an 8-foot cross arm, but this time in a canvas bag, up comes the steel pins in the insulator. So you have to lean out to either side 4 feet from the center, put the insulator in, tighten it down, do that. And you have to do it by taking the insulator out of the bag and taking it behind your back. And the whole point is we want to find the people who are able to perform this task without being scared and able to follow directions. And so I had already practiced. This was like nothing to me at that point because my friend had taught me. And then you come down and then they put you on a list. And, you know, thank God I was in the top 10. So that was the initial vetting process.
Do many people flunk out of it? You know, 35 feet is pretty darn high when you're looking up there. It's 10 feet, yeah. 35 feet, that's tough.
So what would happen?
And it's risky, you know, for sure.
It is risky. It's risky. And so at that time, we had about 3,000 people apply. And about 2,500 show up because about 500 don't pass the written test. And so let's say you get 2,000 people apply, and you're going to cut it down to about 200 to be on the list for a couple of years.
Right.
It's a high. It's probably an 80% attrition level. People get up there, they climb the first test, and then they don't come back. And then when you go out to your climbing school, which is about a month, it's a 2-week climbing school, which is an intense. It's like boot camp, okay? Just think of it as boot camp. You show up, and now you've been hired, and there's about 10 or 12 of you in the initial group. And so we typically would lose about 30 to 50% of the of the individuals who actually passed all of the vetting process. So the attrition level is very high. It's very high. You may come out with – in my class, we had about 12 to start. We had 10 actually passed, so we had a higher passing percentage, but then we had probably we lost another 3 guys. They didn't make it through their apprenticeship. So it's from, you know, soup to nuts from beginning to end. It's a long journey from the time you step on the property to make journeyman linemen.
Wow, I can imagine that. And then, of course, not only that, is it dangerous climbing up, and, you know, you're hanging out up that high up in the air. You're working with high power lines. There's a lot of danger in that aspect of it, which is a whole different ball game. How hard is it to learn that, you know, to do that and work in that field? It's, you know, to me, it seems tough. Tell me.
So one of the things that I love to tell people when they tell me it's dangerous, it's only dangerous if you're not trained properly. It's like anything else. So there's risk and there are hazards, but you can eliminate those risks. You can mitigate the hazards by having really good training. In the utility I came through, we had excellent instructors, and our on-the-job training was very high because we did everything manually. I mean, we climbed poles every day. We climbed, we worked on, you call it high voltage now, but we would work like 4,000 volts off the pole. And a lot of people say, well, God, that's a lot of voltage. Well, it is. You're in rubber gloves, and you have all the personal protective equipment you need. And there are methods that have been created over, you know, we've been doing this since, what, late 1890s, 1880s. So there's a whole, you know, encyclopedia of experience and training and methodologies that if you follow them, it's not dangerous. It's just, you know, we call it just another walk to work. When we climb a pole, we're just walking to work. And you get up there and you get used to it. And you work in very adverse conditions from location, terrain, to weather, from storms, from from hurricanes to thunderstorms to snowstorms, and you know, you even get the occasional earthquake out here in California, and you have to do restoration jobs. So it's not, and then, you know, there's other ways of working with the high voltage with hot sticks, which are 6 to 8 foot long insulated sticks, and that's a whole nother skill set that you have to develop. Right now we use a lot more bucket trucks and aerial lifts, so the climbing has been reduced, which, you know, I'm an old school guy. I love to climb poles, but you know what, in the pursuit of being safer and you know, having a workforce that lasts longer, that bucket truck is a game changer.
Wow. Well, look, I know you had an extraordinary career. So many years you've done this, but now you have your own company, Fuentes Consulting in Sacramento. Talk to me a little bit about what your company does and the services you provide, because it's pretty extensive. How about it?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So this last year I've done 4 leadership workshops for contractors, and what I do is I've kind of tailored the leadership to what the contractor or the client wants, but mainly it's about how do you train someone to come into a leadership role that's just, you know, they don't have any training for that. In the military, they teach you how to be a leader, right? They put you through officer candidate school. They put you through
right.
the academies, and the whole thing is about leadership. Well, in the blue-collar trades, when you're running multiple crews and lots of resources and manpower, no one says, hey, here's the method. Here's the process of being a leader, you know, and how to manage your resources, you know, how to do performance evaluations, how to have some business acumen so that you know that the money is being spent in the right place, you know, how to communicate to a crew. So one of the things I do is I break it down for the individual line foreman or the supervisors. You know, like we have what's called a pre-job briefing, or it's called in the industry, it's called a tailboard or tailgate. So every morning before you show up to the job site or at the job site, you'll sit around, you'll have your coffee, and the foreman's going to give you what we call a tailboard, or it's a communication method. It's a meeting that says, these are the goals and objectives for the day. And the 3 things that I emphasize is what I call SQPs, which I learned from a mentor of mine, which is safety, quality, and production. And so what you're going to do is you're going to outline timelines, roles and responsibilities. You're going to identify hazards, and you're going to eliminate them. And that's how I start with teaching line foremen on how to do the communication. But now I've kind of changed it a little bit, Doug, just because I thought, you know, the tailboard is – it's a communication method. Really, the biggest thing I could teach someone is how to create their job plan. What is the plan? So most people seem to think, okay, a line crew shows up, they put the wires back up. Well, they don't understand that, you know, maybe we have to replace the pole, and the pole has to go back in the same hole that we pulled it out of. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to notify the water department, sewer department, gas. It's called the underground service alert. There's lots of permits and a lot of things that have to be done pre-work before you even do that. And so what I've done was I just created an interview that I used to use at SMUD, and I would give it to the guys. I'd say, okay, hey, you guys, here's the job. Tell me how you're going to do it. And, you know, in those settings, those guys they don't want to be the guy that raises their hand. But, you know, I try to make it more interactive. And here's everything that you're going to be doing for this job. And I just say, ready, go. You guys are the foreman. Tell me, are you going to do it? And then we have a discussion, and I kind of try to, you know, gather information and give them the kind of tools that will make it easier for them in the future to lead a crew. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, I could go on for hours.
No, I know. Well, I was going to point out, you know, you have your company. You now are providing services for a number of cities and communities in the California. I mean, you know, the city of Cerritos, Lompoc, Pasadena Water and Power. There's a long list of clients that you do this for. Do you train their staff? Is that basically what you're doing? Is it leadership, or do you start even at the very beginning, guys coming in to be linemen?
I can do anything that the client requests. I'll give you an example. Next week I will be down in the desert for the Imperial Irrigation District. I'm doing an electrical audit of their infrastructure, their transmission, to help them with, as you know, we have wildfires in California, so they have to have a wildfire mitigation plan. So they bring me in. I help to write their wildfire mitigation plan. I review it for them. But I also help them, and we go out to the jobs, to the desert. So it's like 7,000 square miles. So I'll be out there for 4 or 5 days next week, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to look at the locations that they have hazard and at risk, and I'm going to make recommendations on how to fix it and the things that I see. So that's one of the things I'll be doing. I did leadership training for two contractors here in California, Hotline Construction and Henkels & McCoy, a very big contractor. And then the week after that, I will be doing what they call Hurt Man certification. So every year, linemen have to go through annual certification to show that they can rescue somebody that's been injured on a pole or in a bucket truck. So companies call me, they bring me in, and I put together a presentation, and then I go out there and I watch them perform it. And then, I certify them. I give them a nice letter back with recommendations on how to improve, and I do that for several companies. But if the company called me and said, Max, we want you to teach our guys how to do rubber gloving on live line, I'd say fine.
Right.
I can do that. Or we want you to teach them how to hot stick, or we want you to teach them how to de-energize a line and then put on personal protective grounding, or basically any facet of the transmission and distribution utility industry. I can help their company to train them, to update their procedures and their policies. I do incident investigations. I just got done doing an incident investigation for a company, and my plate's been pretty good. I've been very fortunate to have ongoing work.
That's good for you. Good for you. You know, tell me briefly about the book you wrote on de-energizing and grounding transmission and distribution lines. You did that obviously to advise workers on how to protect themselves, right? That's really what it's all about, as I gather. Am I right?
So here, the biggest challenge that I found with de-energizing lines and equipment was, as our infrastructure in the grid became more complicated and bigger, there were a lot more infrastructure was attached to it. The voltages got higher. There's a lot of emphasis on grounding de-energized lines for the protection of the line worker, but a lot of it was written by engineers. And the issue you run into is a lot of times, the average Joe lineman, they're not going to learn all of the very complicated mathematical formulas that justify some of these things. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book where a lineman can open it up and there are pictures. And each picture will have an explanation of, the different types of grounding schematics and, personal protective grounding schemes that they can use to protect themselves and the public. On top of that, so my book turned out to be about 182 pages, and I integrated a lot of the formulas and a lot of calculations. And what I tried to do is I tried to make it applicable to a guy standing on a pole ready to go to work. Like, if I touch this, will the line kill me? Or if I do two things, am I safe? Yeah. And so I wanted them to just open up that book and go, okay, that makes sense to me. I understand it. Plus, the math is there. And the thing is I didn't just write that book and then just threw it out there. I wrote that book, and I had my son review each and every one of my calculations, and he's an electrical engineer, and that's what he does.
Wow.
So I said, I told my son, hey, take a look at this. Is my formula correct, and is it applicable? And so it was a long process, but I'm very proud of that book.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, obviously, that's something that's applicable to be used by, anyone in this industry, anywhere in the country, not just out where you are
right.
in California.
Exactly.
Where is the book available, like on Amazon or things like that? Tell me.
I just self-published it. It's online.
Really?
You can get it at my website at PuentesConsultingLLC.com.
No, that's it. I was going to give that website out. I'm glad you mentioned it. We're talking to Max Fuentes. He is the president, the founder of Fuentes Consulting in Sacramento, California. Talk to me also about you've gotten into becoming an expert witness in legal cases. How does that work? I mean, how do you find that? I would assume that'd be pretty interesting for you. Give me an example of the kind of litigation you get involved in, or the cases that you're consulting on. How would you answer that?
So my cases, typically they involve any kind of accidents in the trade. So a lineman goes out, he's doing some kind of work, and he gets injured, and then there's a lawsuit. Now, obviously, the lineman can't sue his employer because there's workers' comp laws. So they'll usually go after the other parties that are involved. Or if a contractor gets hurt on a property of a utility, well, the contractor can't sue their employer, but they'll sue the utility. So I end up working either for the utility, sometimes I work for the lineman. My cases are about 50-50 on defendant and plaintiff. They're electrical contacts, they're deaths by electrical contact, there's guys that have fallen off poles, there's car poles, if a car hits a pole and there's an insurance claim, and then the insurance company will call me and they'll want me to say, hey, does it really cost this much to replace a pole? And so what I'll do is I work for the insurance company. I do work where, individuals are injured working. So I had a case where a guy was a manual laborer. He was digging through a street in the middle of San Francisco, and he hit a PG&E power line. Well, the whole thing came down to was it located? Was it marked correctly? Did he understand what he was doing? And so, I took that case on, and there becomes multiple actors in a lot of these cases. So I do a lot. I have a wide range to anything that would affect the transmission, distribution, utilities industry.
Wow. But by the way, do most of these cases go to trial, or do they settle before a trial point? How do you feel about that?
So in the last 7 years, I've had a little over, I probably had two dozen cases, and I've only had one go to trial.
Only
so
one.
So I go to depositions, and, they typically, they have mediation, I do depositions. And then in California, we have what's called declarations, which is just a statement of my opinions. And then they can just do a settlement. I mean, they settle. Let's put it that way. I think it's pretty well known that most lawsuits settle.
And when you did go to trial, the one trial you did you have an attorney? Did you testify before the jury, an attorney trying to twist you up, as we see on television? Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the trial was easier than the depositions I've been through. The trial, they call me up there, and I only had to, testify for about 40 minutes to an hour. So you have to remember that by the time we get to trial, they've already rung me through the ringer through deposition. So they already know what my positions are going to be. And so, attorneys, they will – their job is to make your life hard as the expert and to get you to not be the expert, to get you to doubt yourself, and to get you to maybe testify at trial and contradict yourself in your testimony in your deposition. So, it's not the fun part,
Well, I tell you, it's a fascinating I think it's a fascinating life that you have going on for yourself right now, Max. Indeed, very, very fascinating. We're talking to Max Fuentes. He is the head of Fuentes Consulting, based out in Sacramento, California. And if you're interested in that book that Max wrote, it's FuentesConsultingLLC.com. And Fuentes is F-U-E-N-T-E-S, FuentesConsultingLLC.com. Max, thanks for coming back on with us. I love chatting with you. I love your story. And, you make it sound so simple, but what the business you were in, it's very complex, and it's risky. It's dangerous. So thanks for telling us about it. Okay? We appreciate
you
it very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Max. That'll do it for this show, everybody. We've been talking again to Max Fuentes of Fuentes Consulting in Sacramento. An amazing story of an amazing guy. We thank him for giving us the pleasure of his time to join us here on the air. Thank you so much, Max. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.